Will you please turn to Philippians chapter 3. The letter to the Philippians. Chapter 3. Just one verse, verse 15. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm reading from a new translation, so it may be a little different from yours, but the substance is the same. As many, therefore, as are perfect, let us be thus minded. And if you are any otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to you. Let me repeat. As many, therefore, as are perfect, let us be thus minded, and if ye are any otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to you. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1. And Abram was 99 years old when Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before my face and be perfect. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Hebrews chapter 6. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6. From verse 1 through verse 3. Wherefore, leaving the word of the beginning of the Christ, let us go on to what belongs to full growth or perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith in God, of the doctrine of washings and of impositions of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. And finally, same book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20. But the God of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, in the power of the blood of the eternal covenant, perfect you in every good work to the doing of his will, doing in you what is pleasing before him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for the ages of ages. Amen. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do gather together in the name of thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. We believe that thou art here with us. We are standing on holy ground. We do desire to remove our shoes, as it were, and listen to what thou hast to say to us. We are all here. Speak, O Lord, thy servants hear it. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. As I was before the Lord for asking the Lord what we should share together this time, I felt it may be of the Lord that we should share together on this matter of Christian perfection. We know this is a subject that is very greatly ignored, and it is also one that is very much misunderstood. We believe Christian perfection is the will of God. It has much to do with God's eternal purpose. But the enemy knows how important this Christian perfection is. So you see how the enemy tries every way to confuse that issue. So among God's people today, either we have never heard of Christian perfection. Can there be Christian perfection on this earth? Or people may have heard it, but they are very much confused. They really do not know what Christian perfection really is. So we do need to wait upon the Lord, that the Lord will somehow clarify this issue for us and bring us into His mind, that we may really not only know but enter into what is Christian perfection. Now, what is not Christian perfection? First of all, Christian perfection is not sinless perfection. There is only one who is sinless perfect, and that is our Lord Jesus. Aside from our Lord Jesus, there is no one throughout the ages in the history of mankind. There is not even one who is sinless perfect. We are born in sin, and we have sinned. Only the Lord Jesus, who is sinless perfect, He who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. When our Lord Jesus was born, He was called the Holy One, because He was born of the Spirit of God, overshadowing the womb of a virgin. Our Lord Jesus did not inherit the sinful nature of Adamic race. Our Lord Jesus, throughout His life, never knew what sin was. Not only He never committed sin, but He never knew what sin was. He was always obedient to His Father. And because He is sinless perfect, that qualifies Him to be made sin for us. So, brothers and sisters, first of all, we are not talking about sinless perfection. Secondly, Christian perfection is not the eradication of sin. You know, I was saved among the holiness people. And among the holiness people, they believe you can receive a second blessing. And that second blessing is you will pass through an experience, and from that experience, sin will be rooted out from you. And from that day onward, you will never sin. Very beautiful. But if you read the Word of God, you find that sin as a nature resides in us. It is not eradicated. It is isolated. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, we are told, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin may be annulled, or, strictly speaking, may be unemployed, out of employment, that we may be delivered from sin, from the power of sin. As long as we live on this earth, as long as we are still in this mortal body, sin as a nature still resides in us. But thank God it is isolated, because our old man was crucified with Christ. So this body is out of employment, and he had to be employed anew, and that is employed by the Lord unto righteousness and holiness. Because of the salvation of the Lord, Christian is not obligated to sin. We may not sin. We should not sin. But it doesn't mean that we cannot sin. So if you read 1 John chapter 2, you'll find the Apostle John said, I write these things to you that you may not sin. Thank God we may not sin. We are not obligated to sin, because there is the redemption of the Lord there. But, he said, if anyone does sin, we had an advocate, a paracletos, a comforter, our Lord Jesus the righteous, who is before the Father, and he is our propitiation, not only for us, but for the whole world. So, brothers and sisters, again you'll find Christian perfection is not the eradication of sin. We can overcome sin, but it is not eradicated, not until we put on a new body, a spiritual body. Now thirdly, Christian perfection is not limited to a few. In other words, Christian perfection is not for the elite. It is for all God's children. The call to perfection is a call to all the children of God. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you are a child of God, you are called to Christian perfection. The calling is universal to all God's people. Now, oftentimes we think Christian perfection is only for a few very special people. Now, the reason why we think it that way is because we look at our walk instead of looking at God's calling. You know, when you look at our walk, well, you think, well, I haven't arrived yet. It is impossible. Maybe a few special things, they arrive. So Christian perfection is for them. It is not for us, common believers. But brothers and sisters, do not confuse calling with walking. Calling is from God. And God's calling is universal. He calls all of us into perfection because our God is perfect. He cannot call us less than what He is. But whether we respond to His calling, now that's our responsibility. So unfortunately, oftentimes we fail in our responsibility. And because we fail, we say we are not called. Now that is not true. You are called. And because you're called, therefore, let us respond. If you read the Word of God in the Old Testament, you find in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old. Now Abraham is the father of faith, and we are to walk in his footsteps. Now thank God, by faith, when God called him, he obeyed. He came out of Ur of Chaldea. He followed the Lord, not knowing where he was going, but he knew God was leading him. And if you read the book of Genesis, you find how God led him on in the way of faith. In chapter 15 of Genesis, you find that God revealed to him, and God gave him great promises. And he believed in God, and because he believed, he was reckoned as righteous. Thank God for that. But when you come to chapter 16, you find something happened. God promised to give him seed as the stars of the heaven, but he didn't even have one child. So you remember how he took Hagar. And hopefully from Haggai, he might get the seed. And to help God a little bit to fulfill God's promise. He did that when he was 86 years old. He got Ishmael. But after that, God did not have a word for him for 13 years. God was silent with him because he was not following the Lord. He was not walking perfect in the sight of God. Those 13 silent years was very deep discipline to Abraham. But after 13 years, when he was 99 years old, God appeared to him and spoke to him again. And God said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before my face and be perfect. In other words, it tells us that God's thought concerning Abraham is perfection. God was not pleased with Abraham when he was not walking perfect before him. But God said, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient God. Walk before me and be perfect. How can you be perfect? What is the secret of perfection? Remember, the secret of perfection is not in you. The secret perfection is in God. God said, I am the Almighty God. Remember that I am the all-sufficient God. And because I am the all-sufficient God, if you walk before my face, just be before me. Just wait upon me. Just see my face. Just trust me. And if you do, you will be perfect. That is Christian perfection. Brothers and sisters, if we know God, if we know who He is, and if we are in constant communion with Him, not walk behind Him, hide from Him, but walk before His face, we see Him daily, brothers and sisters, He will perfect us. He will do the work. Go back a little bit. You remember Noah. If you read Genesis chapter 6, you will find that Noah found favor in the sight of God. And then later on you'll find that Noah, the Bible said, he was perfect in his generation. First, he found favor in the sight of God. In other words, he found grace before God. And then he was said to be perfect in his generation. So again, you'll find a secret here. The secret of perfection is the grace of God. If you find grace in God, then you will be perfect. And this perfection is in His generation. In other words, according to the light that one has in his time. So it doesn't tell us that it is sinless perfection. Noah was a perfect man, perfect in the sight of God. But it is not sinless perfection. As a matter of fact, we do find later on that he got drunk. But he found grace in the sight of God. And he was perfect in his generation, according to the light he had at his time. So, brothers and sisters, how can we be perfect before God? If we know the grace of God. And if we obey the light that God has given to us and walk in it. God is light. He dwells in the light. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sins. Another person. We know that the book of Job, so far as we know, is the first written book in the Bible. He lived in the time of the patriarchs, and Job was not a Jew even. You know, actually he lived in Edom, and he lived in the land of Uz. But if you read the book of Job, you find the Bible said Job was perfect and upright. He feared God and abstained from evil. He was considered as perfect before God in his generation. Why? Because he feared God and he abstained from evil. It doesn't say he was sinless perfect. It doesn't say he has the root of sin eradicated, therefore he could sin no more. No, it just said he feared God and abstained from evil. Now, if you want to hear what Job said about himself, in Job chapter chapter 9. Job chapter 9. Verse 21. Job 9:20-21. If I justify myself, mine own mouth would condemn me. Were I perfect, he would prove me perverse. Were I perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. In other words, Job knew very well. If he should consider himself as perfect, God could prove him perverse. So he was nothing as perfect. And yet God said he was perfect because he feared God and abstained from evil. Use another illustration, David. David is a man after God's own heart. But was David perfect? Sinless perfect? Everybody knew he was not. And yet David talked about perfection. If you read Psalm 37, verse 37, it's easy to remember. Mark the perfect and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. David is a man after God's own heart. He knows where God's heart is. So he said, mark the perfect. Behold the upright, for the end of the man is peace. And then you turn to Psalm 138. Verse 8. That's almost like a prayer of David concerning this matter of perfection. He said, Jehovah will perfect what concerneth me. Thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In other words, he believed that God will perfect him. It is the loving kindness of God that perfects him. It is the work of God that perfects him. In other words, perfection is God's work. He, because of his mercy, of his loving kindness, he will perfect you to the praise of his glory. Now, if you turn to the New Testament, of course, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, our Lord Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, if this is not Christian perfection, what is it? Now, to whom does the Lord say such words? Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. We know if you read chapter 5, you find the Lord Jesus. He went to the mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and said, blessed. And he continued to speak. What we call Sermon on the Mount. So in other words, you'll find that these words are spoken to the disciples. They are not spoken to the multitudes. The multitudes came. They overheard what the Lord spoke to his disciples. But these words were addressed directly to the disciples because only the disciples are able to hear these words. Now, if you're not a disciple of Christ, if you hear these words and you try to imitate, try to do it, you find it is impossible. You cannot do it. It condemns you. But if you are a disciple of Christ, you find the possibility is there. So the Lord Jesus said, be ye perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. You know, perfection is after God's character. Because our God, our Father, is perfect. Therefore, we should be perfect. Perfection here is not concerned with deity. I hope we will make it very clear at the very beginning. It doesn't mean that we should be so perfect that we become deified. We are always human beings. Thank God we are human beings. Don't try to be an angel. You are a man, a woman, a human being. And for eternity, we are human beings. We are created in God's own image. It's higher than the angels. But we are never deified. Remember, God is always God, and we are always man. But we need to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. In what sense is that? It means that we should have the same character as our Father has. Because we are His children. We are born with His life. His life is in us. Therefore, we need to have that life develop into a character that is like God. God loves the good man and He loves the bad man. He gives rain to the good and to the bad. He let the sun shine upon the bad and shines upon the good. In other words, love. There is a love of God there. So the Lord said, be perfect in love as your Heavenly Father is perfect love. So it concerns our conduct. It concerns our walk. It concerns our Christian character. We need to develop our Christian character so that we may be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. You remember in Matthew chapter 19, a young man, a young ruler, good young man. You don't find it today. He ran to the Lord. He knelt before the Lord among the multitude. And he said, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? The Bible says the Lord look at him and love him. It's a rarity. Even in that time, and of course, today too. A young man desiring for eternal life. And because he desired eternal life so much, he wasn't ashamed to kneel before the Lord and ask the Lord to teach him. He's a good young man. So the Lord said, why do you call me good? There is only one good. It is God. God is the only good one. You are not good. Do not think that you are good. You are not. Only one is good. But you know, he confused. He thinks that eternal life is something to be earned. and by doing good, he may earn eternal life. So the Lord told him, well, if you really want to be good, keep the commandments. So he said, well, what commandments? And the Lord just quoted to him the second table of stone, not the first table of stone. The first table, the four commandments concerning our relationship with God. But the Lord already quoted him that relationship with human beings, because that's something he could understand. And he said, well, from childhood I have kept them. Yes, he kept them in the letter, but not in the spirit. So when the Lord challenged him with the spirit, you'll find he had to go away sadly, because he hadn't. He hadn't loved his neighbor as himself. He hadn't do that. So the Lord said, all right, you want good. Now let me tell you what good is. If you want to be perfect. Now remember, he asked the Lord for good. And the Lord said, if you want to be perfect. Because perfection is good. Now, if you want to be perfect, sell all you have. Because the Lord knows that he loves money too much. Give to the poor. Keep the spirit of the commandments. Then come and follow me. Now, it doesn't mean that if he gives away to the poor, that he is perfect. No, it just gets rid of the barriers. Come and follow me. In other words, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So brothers and sisters, if you want to be perfect, it is impossible with you, but it is possible with God. So do not think that you can be perfect. You can try to perfect yourself. You will go away sadly like that young man. But thank God, if you just trust his grace, he is able to do exceedingly above all you can even think of. He is able to. You know, you read the letter to the Corinthians. In first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 2, verse 6, Paul said, but we talk about wisdom among the perfect. You know, from verse 1 to verse 5, Paul said, well, when I come among you, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I do not come with flowery speech, great wisdom, as it were. I present to you simply with fear and trembling Jesus Christ and him crucified. I know nothing else among you. And then in verse 6 he suddenly changed. He said, but among the perfect we talk about wisdom. And of course, if you read the description of that wisdom, you know he talked about the church. That is the wisdom of God. But he said, to the perfect, I will talk about wisdom. So in other words, you find there are people who are perfect, who are considered as perfect. Now maybe if you read 1 Corinthians, you will say, well, probably there are one or two. It is for the elite, not for all the believers. But if you turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, when Paul concluded the letter, he said, brethren, rejoice and be perfect. In other words, he said, be perfect, brethren, every brother, every sister, because our sisters are female brothers. You know, male brothers and female brothers. We are all brothers. Brethren, be perfect. It is for all. You read Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6. And you find the writer of the Hebrews said, well, you holy brethren who received that heavenly calling, now it is time for you to leave the beginning of the word and to go on into perfection, full growth. Do not just be on the foundation. The foundation must be laid. But after the foundation is laid, you need to build on it into full growth. So brothers and sisters, if you read the Bible, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, I'm just giving you a few illustrations to encourage you to see that perfection is what God is after in you and in me. Perfection is based upon God Himself. Because God is perfect, so how can you imagine that He will call us into imperfection? It's contradictory to the very character of God. He loves us so much, He wants us to be like Him. Now, what is Christian perfection? You know, this very word perfect, in Greek, there are several words, but I think if we mention two, should be enough, because these are the two main words. One is teleos, if you want to transliterated is T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos. Now the word teleos means full growth, mature, workability, soundness, completeness. When you apply it to a Christian, it means Christian maturity. Now there's another word, katartizo, K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O, K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O, katartizo. Mending. Like mending the nets or fitting. When the bones are out of joints, you fit them together. Equip, prepare, equipped. So when it is applied to a Christian, it means spiritual equipment. Now, in contrasting these two words, teleos refers to Christian experience, Christian life. And katartizo refers to Christian service. Teleos refers to Christian maturity, and that is in relation to character. Katartizo refers to Christian equipment. We are equipped for service. So in the New Testament, you'll find these two principal words, they all translated perfect. Perfect. Either it is referring to character, that is, you are maturing, taking up the character of Christ. Or it may refer to being equipped with spiritual gifts that you may serve the Lord according to His will. Now that is the word perfect. So perfection doesn't mean sinless perfect. It means mature, equipped. When we first believe in the Lord Jesus, we are born again. We are born from above. But brothers and sisters, when we are born physically, when you are born, you are a babe. You are not like Adam. When he was created a full-grown man. He didn't go through babyhood, childhood, adolescent period. No, when he was created a full-grown man. But aside from him, you know, when we are all born as a little baby. Even our Lord Jesus was born as a little baby. Thank God he went through babyhood and childhood. So spiritually, when we are born again, brothers and sisters, don't forget we are babes in Christ. We have a new life. We have the life of God. We have the life of Christ in us. There is such potential there. But when we are born, we are only babes. Now, babes are beautiful. Everybody loves babies. There is not a baby that is not beautiful. But a baby is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is manhood and womanhood. If one should remain a babe after 30 years, everybody will shake their heads. Ugly. Now, spiritually, it is the same thing. When we are first born, we are babes in Christ. But that is not the will of God. The will of our fellow Heavenly Father is that we may grow up into manhood and womanhood. That we may be conformed to the image of His beloved Son. And that image refers to character. That is the will of God. Brothers and sisters, unfortunately, many believers, they are so happy to be babes. Why? Because as long as you are babes, people have to take care of you. You have no responsibility whatsoever. But that is not the will of God. He wants us to grow. And if we do not grow, well, He still loves us. He still takes care of us. That's true. But how it hurts His heart. It does not fulfill His purpose. So you need to grow. Look at the Corinthian believers. Paul was with them for a year and a half. They were so privileged. But not long after Paul left, several years, Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians. And if you read Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find Paul said, formerly when I was with you, I treated you as babes, because you were babes. You were fleshly. And that word fleshly actually is psychikos, I think. Yes. Psychikos. You're fleshly. It means that that is your element. I would like to use another word. You're fleshy. You know, a baby is very fleshy. Why? Because at midnight, when he feels hungry, he doesn't mind your sleep. He will cry. He won't stop until you feed him. Very fleshy. You find he just exposed himself. Show you what he is. There's no pretension. That is good. No pretension. The older you grow, the more facade you put on. But a baby's fleshy. All flesh. You know, when you are a baby in Christ, you are like that. There is no hiding. If you are not happy with your brothers and sisters, you speak your mind. If you're not happy with what I'm talking about, you stand up and walk out. Fleshy. And a certain period is allowed for you to be fleshy. You know, you cannot skip babyhood. You cannot expect a newly born believers to be full grown. You cannot expect that. You have to allow a certain time for him to grow. You know, but after a few years, Paul said, you are still carnal, and the word is sakinos, sakikos. You are still fleshly. And that is not the element, the material you're made of. That has a moral tinge to it. So in other words, after a few years, you ought to outgrow your carnality. You ought to know to put your flesh to the cross. But you still live in the flesh, like the people in the world. You still have to be fed. You are not exercised spiritually to discern the more excellent things. And that's very wrong. Very wrong. If you read the book of Hebrews, you find the same thing. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 5 tells us, by the time you should be teachers, you should be able to help others. But now you still have to be fed with milk. You cannot digest solid food. Solid food is for the grown up. But milk is for the babes. Now what is milk? Milk is pre-digested food. Your mother digests the food and it becomes milk for you. So it is pre-digested food, so you are so weak, you are not able to absorb, so you have to have milk to feed you. You cannot take solid food. You are not exercised in your spiritual senses. And that's very wrong. So the writer said, you should leave the foundation, not leave the foundation, but, you know, you should go on the foundation, built on the foundation, and into full growth, into perfection. So brothers and sisters, Isn't that the call of God to every one of us? We are called to Christian perfection. We are called to grow up into maturity. We are called to be equipped for service. That is for every believer. This is the will of God. Is there a standard for Christian perfection? How do you know you have arrived or you haven't arrived? On the one hand, you find Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, but among the perfect. So there must be people who are perfect. And yet on the other hand, how do we know that we can be considered as the perfect? Is there a standard? Well, brothers and sisters, I meditated on it. I waited upon the Lord. And I just proposed this to you. I hope you will think about it. And if it is of the Lord, accept it. If it is not, reject it. But it is just the way I feel before the Lord. I feel Christian perfection is both absolute and relative. Christian perfection has an absolute standard. Because God is the standard. The Bible says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can you think of God as not absolutely perfect? He is perfect in love, perfect in mercy, perfect in beauty, perfect in purity, perfect in holiness, perfect in righteousness, perfect in everything. He is perfect. And because He is the standard, so I do believe that there is a standard for perfection. There is a standard. But you remember the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, he said, I cannot say that I have arrived. Oh, how I long to be apprehended, that I may apprehend Him as I am indeed apprehended by Him. God has a purpose in my life. God wants me to be perfect, like Christ, and how I long to be like Christ. But I am not perfected yet. I pursue. I forget that which is behind, and I stretch myself towards the goal, the high calling, for the prize that is on high. Brothers and sisters, Paul, he was already in the prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. A matured Christian. So mature that he helped many, many people. And yet he said, no, I am still pursuing. Brothers and sisters, when you see perfection with God as the goal, you're on the way. You'll never arrive. Not only you will not arrive in this time, in your lifetime, even in your eternity, you will never arrive. Oh, the thrill of eternity. Never done. In eternity you find the revelation is so fast. Not like today. You know, our revelation comes once in a lifetime maybe. So slow. And it's always dim. But in eternity, light will come with full brightness. And it will come with such speed. And yet it takes eternity to know God. And you are still knowing Him. You are still in the way of perfection. Never arrived. Well, that is the thrill of being a Christian. Never arrived. Always striving. Always something ahead of you. You think you arrived, and you look up, and it's way there. And you have to run again. So when you see there is an absoluteness of perfection, then brothers and sisters, the wonder of it is we are always pursuing. Isn't that good? Yet on the other hand, Christian perfection is relative. By relative, I mean there is a point you come to. And when you come to that point, I don't know how to explain it. I call it a threshold. When, after you are saved, and you try to pursue the Lord, and you begin to grow. And when you grow to a certain point, it seems as if you crossed a threshold. And you cross that threshold, you are considered as among the perfect. See, among the perfect are not those who are absolutely perfect. Never. But Paul said, yeah, there are people among the perfect because they have crossed the threshold. Now, what is the threshold? Let me use an illustration. You remember the children of Israel? There they were in Egypt as slaves. But God delivered them out of Egypt. Now, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is to bring them into Canaan. Not just out of Egypt. Of course, if you are in Egypt, you will never be in Canaan. But the out of Egypt is for into Canaan. That is the purpose of God. God never wants us just to be delivered out of sin, out of the world, but God wants to deliver us into the fullness of Christ. But when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they did not know themselves. So God gave them the Ten Commandments, the law, to test them, to prove, not to God, but prove to themselves, that in themselves is impossible. Because they say, well, whatever God commands, we'll do. Out of their zeal. Honest. But deceived. So 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. These 40 years is to reveal to them who they are. Their flesh. Even though they are delivered out of Egypt, but in themselves, they are still carnal. But then you find, in the mercy of God, God brought them into Canaan. A new generation. They cross the River Jordan. And after they crossed the River Jordan, they were in Canaan. when they were in the wilderness, God rained manna day after day to sustain their lives for 40 years. But after they crossed the Jordan, they settled there and the manna stopped because they began to eat the old corn of the land. You see the difference? So in a sense you find after they crossed the river Jordan, they were considered as the perfect. But they had to learn to possess their possession. But it is there. The possibility is there. They can possess. They cannot possess it when they are in the wilderness. But now they can possess the land because they're already in the land. So, brothers and sisters, using this as an illustration, what I'm thinking is there a threshold in our spiritual life that we must cross in order to go the way of the perfect? I believe there is. It is Romans 6:6. Brothers and sisters, what is the River Jordan? River Jordan is co-death with Christ. The Red Sea is death, but you'll find that it is the rod of God divided the sea, and they went through it. By the power of God, they were delivered out of death into life. But the River Jordan is different. The ark went through with them. And the ark speaks of Christ. So in other words, you'll find in baptism, there are the Red Sea symbolizing we are baptized unto Christ, and the River Jordan, we are baptized unto His death. So there is a co-death there. In other words, even though we are saved, there is still our old man there. Inside is the new man, but outside is the old man. Inside is Christ, but outside is ourselves. And because of this, we are hindered into perfection, from perfection. And therefore you'll find we have to come to a place when we begin to realize that there is no good in me that is in my flesh. Not even try to be good, to keep the commandments. Because we have tried, but we couldn't. So we began to realize what Christ has done for us. He knew it long before we knew it. He knew that there is no good in us. Therefore, when He died, He took our old man. He took us and crucified on the cross with Him. But brothers and sisters, we do not believe it. We think we are too good to be crucified. So after we are saved, we try to use our old man, old energy, to serve God. Try to keep God's commandment until we come to a point and see there is no good in us. God has already crucified us with Christ 2,000 years ago. But this dead man is still trying. So one day we'll realize we were crucified with Christ. No longer I, it is Christ who lives in me. I have given up myself in being like God, in serving God. I am dead, buried, out of sight. It is Christ who who lives in me. I look to Him. He lives in me. Brothers and sisters, when you come to that, you cross the threshold. You are among the perfect. Because the way of perfection is now wide open to you. You know, lots of believers do not grow. Why? Because they are stuck there. They are out of Egypt, but they never crossed the Jordan. They are like the 2.5 tribes, stay on the east side of Jordan. They are never in the land. So, brothers and sisters, how we need to ask the Lord to really show us that Christ has not only borne our sins on the cross, so our sins are forgiven, but Christ has borne you and me on the cross. So no longer I, no longer you. It is now Christ in you. Do you believe it? If you believe it, if you stand on it, you cross the threshold. The way of perfection is wide open to you. Now, you are on the way of growing up. Brothers and sisters, what is Christian life? What is Christian service? Christian life is nothing but Christian perfection. Christian life is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christian life is growing into Christ. Christian life is taking up the character of Christ. That is Christian life, to be perfect in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, you find Paul says, Colossians chapter 2, or maybe we'll start with chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll begin with verse, well, maybe we'll begin with verse 26. The mystery has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been manifest to His saints, to whom God will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now if Christ in you, He is in you. So there is the hope there. Now hope is something in the future. You haven't got it yet. But there is the hope. Now what is the hope? Glory. What is glory? God is glory. To be conformed to the image of Christ, that is glory. So He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now, listen carefully. Whom we announce, admonishing every man, teaching every man in all wisdom to the end. The purpose, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Now, that is the purpose of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory, perfect in Christ. That is Christian life. And then in chapter 2, for I would not have you know what combat I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, to the end that their hearts may be encouraged, being united together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God, in which are hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And again here you'll find all the labor that Paul labored with is to bring the things into their perfection in Christ Jesus. And you remember Ephesians chapter 4. God gave gifts to the church to equip the saints, to perfect the saints. Ephesians 4:12. To perfect the saints, to mature them, to equip them, that they may function, fulfill the ministry of the body, for the building up of the body in love. So whether you think of Christian maturity in life, or you think of Christian equipment in service, you find the same thing. Our goal, God's purpose, is that we be perfect. That is our calling. So, brothers and sisters, this afternoon I would just like to put this before you. You have a wonderful calling. Every one of you is called to Christian perfection, to mature in life, and to equip in gifts for the service of God. God willing, tomorrow afternoon, we'll like to share together on the way to Christian perfection. But I do hope that we'll pray much, that the Lord will really show us how we can enter into this matter of Christian perfection. Because I believe it is the will of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge that human words can only hide your thought. We pray that thou will, by thy Spirit, put thy word into the hearts of all the brothers and sisters. Create in us a desire for Christian perfection. O Lord, thou art the only one who can do it. And we just pray that it should please thy heart to do this in every one of us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.